And welcome. I'm Michelle Marchant Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy, because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. We've now been married a little over 8 years. This marriage has been a great blessing in my life, and now I'm so blessed and honored to help many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love that they have always dreamed of. Now, tonight, the topic that we're going to be discussing is what real men want and why you should want it too. And I'm joined tonight by a very special guest, who is backed by popular demand. Many of you have heard him in the series that we did called The Right Man Will, Seven Things the Right Man Will Do and the Right Man Won't, Seven Things the Right Man Won't Do. And our special guest with us is my wonderful husband, Benjamin Johnson. Welcome, Benjamin.
Oh, good evening, Elle. It's wonderful to be back on with you again. I see you every day, but it's wonderful to get to talk to the women in your audience as well. I had a wonderful time the last two times we did this, and it's great to be back.
Well, Benjamin, we're so happy to have you back, and I really appreciate your wisdom, and I know that the women on the call are going to benefit greatly from your wisdom and from hearing the male point of view. I always get so much positive feedback when you join me. So I'm really excited to have you here, and Benjamin and I welcome each of you. So before we get started into the main portion of our content, Benjamin, I wonder if you could just share a little brief version of our love story and your journey to love. I've mentioned a little bit about mine, but I wonder if you could share just a little bit from your perspective.
Yes, I'd love to. What I often will tell people is that my long journey to marrying someone ridiculously above me finally succeeded. I was in my late 30s when we got married, and it was a first marriage for both of us. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for many reasons, but one of the ones that stands out most is it was remarkably drama-free. I mean, there was a tremendous degree of exactly the kind of things that men are looking for that we're going to be talking about tonight. There was a remarkable amount of mutual respect, appreciation, companionship, love and affection, trust and loyalty. It was, people would ask us, you know, well, give us all the details of your relationship. And it was one of those things where we came together and things fit so well. And it was one of those times where you kind of look in each other's eyes and you realize it's time to go to the next level. And then you reach that point where you can no longer envision a future without that person in the picture. And I really felt that with Michelle. There was no drama, there was no on and off or any of that. It was just a wonderful, passionate experience that I've always been grateful for. And after two decades of being single in the dating world, It was like finding a cool spring in the desert.
Hmm.
It was marvelous.
Thank you, Benjamin. That's so sweet. And as you can tell, ladies, he's highly biased in my favor, and I always joke around and say one of my goals in life is to surround myself with people that are highly biased in my favor. So I'm doing pretty good on this front, right? So in opening with this topic, what real men want and why you should want it too, one of the first questions that may come to your mind is, well, why is it my job or my responsibility to know what men want? And why is it so important that I, as a woman, are in tune with what is important to men? And so we are going to tell you some of the key things that we think are really important to what we call real men. We'll tell you our definition of real men in a moment. But we're also going to tell you why it's actually a big win for you to know these things. And I'll go into more detail about this later, and so will Benjamin. But one of the key things is that if you do want a loving, lasting, amazing relationship with a man, then it is essential to understand some of the key things that are important to a man and that make a man feel loved, because they're not always exactly the same things that make us as women feel loved and cherished and adored. And learning these things can make your interactions while dating, while getting to know a man, and particularly as you move into a more established relationship with a man, much more fulfilling and joyful, and you can avoid a lot of that conflict and drama. So let's begin, though, and I know this is something that both Benjamin and I want to speak to a little bit. Let's begin, though, by talking about what we mean when we say what real men want. So what's our definition of a real man? So the kind of man that we're talking about here is not a perfect man. He's a real man, and that means that he's got his imperfections and his faults, but he's a real man with a real heart, a good heart, who wants to have a relationship with a woman that he can love and adore. And what you may not recognize always is you as a woman have great power in your dating and romantic relationships. I know that sometimes women might feel or have the sense that a man is the one who's always in control or who has the power, because perhaps he's the one that's doing the asking or the pursuing. But in reality, as a woman, if you know how to interact well with men and inspire a man, you in fact have a lot of power. And I'm not talking about the power of controlling another person, but I'm talking about the power of influence in a positive way that can make a man feel wonderful and good and can help him to feel connected with you on a very deep level. And men fall in love with women who like them. Men can tell if you like them or not. And they fall in love with women who make them feel good about themselves and who can see the good in them, who can see their value, and who make them feel better about themselves than they might without you in their lives. In fact, I just was interviewing a man a couple of days ago, a man who is newly engaged, and he was sharing with me the story of meeting this woman after many, many years of being single and wondering if he would ever find love again. He had been divorced a number of years ago, and he talked about how this woman made him feel so good, and she made him feel so important. And it was just by simple things that she said and did that let him know that she really appreciated what he had to offer. And he said, "I've come to realize that my life is so much better with her in it." And that's the kind of thing that we're talking about here. Now, Benjamin, I think you have something else that you'd like to say in terms of what we're talking about with the kind of man before we get started, what our definition is of a real man.
Yes. What Michelle said, of course, is very important. And the two words I love to emphasize the most in these conversations, the two words are good faith. In other words, we're talking about a man who is pursuing a relationship with you in good faith. In other words, he wants to establish a relationship. He wants it to be exclusive. He wants it to grow, you know, ever closer. And what I'm not talking about, what I'm not talking about are men who are in some way tragically flawed or perhaps downright mentally ill. I mean, sadly, there are a minority of men, and, you know, I'm in no way qualified or licensed to diagnose any form of mental illness, but all of us know there are a minority of men out there, whether they be antisocial personalities or narcissistic or what have you. There are some men whose conditions don't let them function in a good faith relationship. And as we go into more of our discussion tonight, it will become very important to recognize that in the context of deciding when you give and how much you give in a relationship. And so I just want to throw that caveat in because, for example, when one of my female relatives was in graduate school getting a psychology degree to do counseling, she also worked as a psych tech at the local county jail. And she had, of course, people, intakes coming in, and these people, as you might expect, were the most, you know, down on their luck individuals that you're likely to find in society. And she would see people that were in despair and depressed and absolutely, you know, not functioning at all. But what she also knew is that many of them had other problems than just depression. Many of them had various substance abuse problems and et cetera. And she once told me one day, if I meet somebody in the intake process in the jail and it's obvious to me that they have a serious heroin addiction, I'm not going to recommend to the jail psychiatrist that they be put on antidepressants, because that's the value of those is simply going to be swallowed up and canceled out by the greater problem. So in my awkward roundabout way, I guess the point I'm making is you do have to watch out for the kind of man who's not going to be able to pursue a relationship in good faith for whatever very major, profound reason is present. So I wanted to just put that in.
Yes, and I just might mention that if you want a starting point in some of the key things that you might want to watch out for in terms of red flags, our previous presentation called The Right Man Won't is a really great place to start on that. It's not all-inclusive, but it does have some of the common red flags that might show up early on in a relationship as you're getting to know a man. And the kind of man that we're talking about when we say what real men want is a relationship-ready man who's not perfect, but he has made some efforts to pull himself together to be ready for a relationship and to have the key aspects of his life in place. And so I think that's a really good starting point, Benjamin, and I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And we're going to be speaking specifically about seven key areas that we feel are essential and important and could even be considered deep needs of a man. So most women in a romantic relationship long to be loved and cherished and adored. And we might even say that's a need that we have. It's a driving force for us. That's why we desire to have a deep connection with a man. That's programmed in our hearts and in our female DNA, if you will. And in the same way as we have that, men also have needs and desires, and we're going to be talking about those. And again, I just want to swing back to this idea that the reason you should care about what a good man wants and needs is that as you learn more about the deep inner needs of men, and you learn how to relate to men, and specifically an individual man that you might form a relationship with better, then you can feel loved, cherished, and adored, and be treated like a treasured woman by a man that you love and respect and trust. So it becomes a win-win, because I believe that a good man who is, as Benjamin said, dealing with you in good faith and is relationship ready and wanting to have a real relationship with a woman will almost move mountains for you. He will do amazing things for you if you are treating him well and he's inspired to do so. And I've experienced some of that, believe me, ladies, in my own marriage, and it's an amazing gift, an amazing blessing. So we want that for you. So we're going to be speaking about seven key areas that are important to men. And I've consulted with Benjamin on this because he's my resident expert man, right?
That's me.
And so we'll be offering both the male and the female point of view. I'll be sharing what I understand about these things. But Benjamin will also be able to share from a man's point of view and a man's perspective. And we felt like this might be really valuable for you. So the first thing that we would like to speak about is respect. And Benjamin, I'd like if you would, for you to start off here and share some of your thoughts from the male perspective about respect.
Certainly. When we were first going over this and you had respect there first on the list, what came into my mind was a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, "Every person I meet is in some way my superior." And you would think, you look at respect, okay, isn't this obvious? I mean, everybody wants respect. It doesn't matter if they're a man or a woman. But look at the culture around us. Look at the entertainment, the advertising, the media culture. Look at the way that the media often portrays men. That can be, in a way, part of the problem. I mean, your average commercial, your average television show, etc., men are portrayed as, well-intentioned bunglers at best and, sadly, utterly selfish predators at worst. The overall message here is that men need to be in some way fixed, that there's a problem with them. And one of the things that Michelle said in our lead up to this was that it's really impossible to overstate the importance of this. And a few things that I could advise, I know our time is limited here, but a few things I could advise women to remember in this area. And try to avoid running down men in general. Even if there are no men present, even if it's just some girlfriends that you're with. Not just because of the risk that you'll be overheard by a man you know, but also it's very important to to break the habit of engaging in the running down of the opposite sex. Besides, another quote I love, I don't remember who said it, but simply, nobody's going to ever win the battle of the sexes. There's too much fraternizing with the enemy. We have the sparks fly when we get together, but we need each other. And the first thing that I think it's important for women to realize is, despite how they may be portrayed in media or advertising sources, men are very competent. Men want to be appreciated for their competence, and they want to be respected for the things that they do well. And life supplies, and I think Michelle will go into this a little more as we go, but life supplies more than enough critics for both men and women. So the first thing that I want to emphasize is that you will get tremendous mileage by laying the critic aside when you're with a man. Even if you're not criticizing him, if you can do what you can to lay aside your inner critic, because like the old saying says, you know, a person who is nice to you but unkind to the wait staff will eventually be unkind to you. It works the same way with respect. If a woman comes to the table with a critical view, that sets off alarms that for a man that my respect in her eyes, I'm not entirely safe here. And we'll talk a little bit more in a bit about, you know, how men and women look at safety a little differently. It's important to both, but they look at it differently. So I guess that would be my first point as we talk about respect. Lay the inner critic aside.
Thank you, Benjamin. So I just want to add a little bit to this respect piece, and that is that just like we as women want to be appreciated for who we are as women, we want a man to respect our feminine gifts. We want a man to cherish us and adore us and love us. In that same way, a man desires respect. And it's, as Benjamin said, it's almost impossible to overstate how important this is to a man. I've spoken to a lot of men over the years, and they have expressed how important it is to be recognized as someone who has value. We're going to go into that in a little bit more detail on some of the other areas. But this kind of respect is a respect for him as a human being. It's a respect for him as a man. It's a respect for him for who he is and what he's doing in the world, for his accomplishments, for his character, for his characteristics. It's respect for him as a human being and to see him for the value that he has. And a man can sense that if you have, as Benjamin said, if you're even joking around, if there's some critical ideas in your mind about men in general, a man is going to be able to sense this, and he's not going to feel that respect from you as a man and as a human being. And there are many ways that you can show this respect, and we don't have time to go into those all right now, but we are going to talk about some other topics that are really kind of interrelated with this respect piece. But we wanted to start there. Benjamin, do you have anything to add before we move on?
No, I think that's all on this one.
So the second piece that we'd like to talk about is appreciation. So a man wants to know that he can make a difference and a contribution in the life of the woman that he loves. He wants to know that his efforts are not going unnoticed, and that the woman he loves notices his gifts. So when I talk about gifts, I'm not specifically talking about presents with a bow on them. I'm talking about the gifts that he brings to the table in terms of what he provides for you, his time, his attention, his energy that he puts into doing nice things for you, the fact that he's there for you when you really need him, the fact that he wants to please you. These are gifts that a good-hearted man that wants a real relationship with a woman will have. And it's amazing how men respond when you express appreciation for the gifts that he brings and for what he has to offer. And I talk about this topic so often. It's one of my favorite topics because we as women are kind of programmed to want to give, 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 give. And we're always taking care of everybody else and trying to look out for everybody else. This is kind of one of our nice qualities. And yet, in relationship to a man, one of the things that women often don't recognize as being as valuable as it is just being able to graciously receive the gifts that a man has to offer. In other words, instead of being in the active role of going out there and trying to do all of these things to make him like you or to make him love you, one of the things that you can do to make a man be endeared to you and to feel this appreciation that we're talking about is to just graciously receive his gifts, to acknowledge, recognize, and express your gratitude for how he shows up for you. And these can be in things big and small. And one of the things that we sometimes forget is that, unlike women, men are often competitive with each other. It feels like a competitive world out there for men. They go out and they work and they compete with other men for jobs and career and success and for money. And, you know, men are always kind of keeping score mentally. This is just part of their programming. And certainly as women, we have our pressures and our stress too. I don't mean to diminish that. But it is on a whole different level for a man. And so a man doesn't often get a lot of positive feedback on his contributions or performance from other men because they may see him as a competitor. And if he does really well, then that, in their mind, might in some way diminish them. And so the man that you're having a relationship with, or will have a relationship with, is if he's not getting this positive feedback from you, he may not be getting it from other sources. And I just want to say one really other important point here before Benjamin speaks to this, and that is that, remember, ladies, it's not your job to try to remake or reform a man. So if you find yourself thinking of a man in terms of his potential, or in terms of how he could be if only he would do or be X, then you may want to really think seriously about releasing him and finding another man, because a man is going to sense that you don't have that respect for him that we talked about first of all, and that you don't appreciate the unique gifts that he brings to the table if he has the sense that you're trying to remake him or reform him or put him on some kind of a program. So that's what I have to say there. Benjamin, what would you like to add?
Oh, this one is so important. I mean, we could start an entire hour right now and stay just on this one. It's critically important. But not only that, it's something that if you keep in mind the need for appreciation, you can, as Michelle was talking about, you can absolutely bring yourself up countless levels in the heart of a man by comparatively simple acts of appreciation and gratitude. I know as a man, you know, I look back to my interminable dating years, and if a woman I had just you know, taken home after a date, if she mentioned specific things about what we did, whether it be that a particular dish at the restaurant tasted wonderful, or if we saw a show, she might talk about a specific number in the performance, or a specific actor or actress. That has a powerful effect on a man. Because when a man has made a connection, an initial connection with a woman, and he's very interested in her, the manna from heaven, if you will, is for her to genuinely mention her appreciation for what he has done. And that's the great thing about this. It's very simple. You're observant to the things that you like about an evening, or even better, that you like about him. And you know, in a non-flattering, very sincere way, you thank him specifically for those things, and the return on investment that you will get from that small act is absolutely phenomenal. I can tell you that the slightest hesitation. Phenomenal.
Yeah, I loved what you said there, Benjamin, when you spoke about specifics. And I think that's a really powerful piece, so I'm really glad you brought that up, because even an acknowledgement of, it can be as simple as, that tasted so good and just was so enjoyable, you know, if he takes you out to a restaurant, or, you know, that appetizer was the most amazing stuffed mushrooms I've ever tasted in my life. And he's providing that experience for you, and so he is going to feel that gratitude personally when you thank him for something specific. Or if you were to say something like, that's so nice of you to help me on with my coat, I really appreciate it. Or, what you said today made so much sense to me and helped me so much because I felt so confused about what to do. You know, if he gives you a little piece of wisdom or advice, if you give him some specific feedback like this, as Benjamin said, this is going to be incredibly endearing, first of all, and it's going to make a man desire to continue to do nice things for you, to please you. It motivates him in a way that is very beneficial to you, because you have a man who's willing to use his precious energy to do nice things for you. And it's also beneficial to him, because he gets the positive feelings that he gets from doing it and then being acknowledged and appreciated for it.
Oh, that's a way to put it. Thank you.
So our third one is companionship. So this one is kind of an interesting thing, because I think there's a perception with many women that men don't necessarily need the kind of companionship that women do. And it's true that men don't necessarily bond with each other in the same way as women do. My husband sometimes calls it the dude culture, you know, when men are elbowing each other and saying, hey, dude, and did you see that sports game on TV on Sunday? So it can be pretty surfacey and can be kind of, hey, dude, and as I already mentioned, oft times can feel competitive. So men don't necessarily bond with other men. We're talking about straight men who would be interested in women here, in the same way that women bond with other women. However, men often feel very isolated and lonely, and men do desire companionship and intimacy, and yet they've been taught by society that to express that might be weak, and they're oftentimes taught to suppress their needs or their emotions. And yet a man is out there facing the world each day, out there in that competitive male-dominated world that he might work in or be in, and he would like to know that he has a soft and safe and gentle place to land when he is in your company. He wants the kind of companionship that a woman can provide that is complementary to him and not that competitive energy that he might be feeling out there in the world. And again, I have spoken with men that I've interviewed. I've spoken with other men throughout the years. Although I focus on supporting women, I've spoken with a number of men, and they have expressed their deep desire for a connection and for companionship with a woman. Benjamin, I think you can add to this because you've experienced this personally.
Oh, yes. You know, I may have mentioned this one in an earlier recording, but look, this never happens, but it illustrates the point quite well. Picture two grizzled truckers. They're sitting next to each other at the lunch counter in a truck stop. And they're both, you know, working on their lunches. And suddenly things get kind of quiet between the two of them, and the one looks over at the other and says, "Hey, Roy, you ever start to cry and you don't know why?" That never happens. But it does not mean that men do not value companionship. A lot of times when a woman has just gotten to know a man, and she's very pleased with what she sees, oftentimes you'll hear a woman say, you know, I feel so safe with him. And of course, obviously, you know, a big part of that is physical safety, you know, feeling secure. But men have that same need. But society has clamped down pretty hard on their ability to express it. A lot of men don't even have the words to express it. But the way that a man values safety is that when he comes into, you know, the orbit of a woman that he's very interested in, that he's going to find kindness. It's as that lovable reprobate H.L. Mencken once said, women have the power to make men perfectly happy, but they seldom know how to do it. They make too much effort. They forget the profound effect of simple amiability. That's what you shoot for. That's kind of the magic word, amiability or friendliness. It's a, as Michelle was saying, a man needs to know that when he comes to where you are, he's going to be greeted with friendliness. And a lot of women, as Michelle said, a lot of women see men for their potential rather than who they are right now. If all you can see a man for is his potential, please, please, please get another man. But if you find that even though he's got tremendous faults and shortcomings, and they're part of him that, in your opinion, not quite ready for prime time, the most important thing that you can give him in this area is simple amiability. friendliness.
Thank you, Benjamin. I also think that part of that amiability is the lightness and the fun and the joy and just a soft and sweet place for him to land when he comes to be with you from whatever battles he's out there fighting out in the real world. And this is also an opportunity for a woman to relax, because it's not so much about you wanting to impress him. It's just an opportunity for you to relax, for you to graciously receive the gifts that he has, and to just provide him some companionship, someone to spend time with, and in a way that feels safe. And feels safe, when I say safe, I don't mean physically safe, but feels safe emotionally. He doesn't have to be in that competitive, masculine, runner race every second of every day. He can relax and let down his guard and just enjoy himself with you. And I think that's part of that amiability. And a man finds happiness in being around a woman who is also joyful and happy and enjoying her life and can bring some lightness and fun to the equation. I think that's part of that companionship as well. Would you agree, Benjamin?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. If interactions, and this applies for both men and women, I mean, if your interactions with a member of the opposite sex simply augment your stress and increase it rather than providing much relief, there's going to be real problems down the road.
Yeah, in other words, even though you're dealing with real life, if you're in a marriage or if you're in a committed relationship, you can be, in a way, somewhat of an escape from him, from just all the daily drudgery and toils of life, if you are that amiable companion. So that's what we're speaking about in terms of companionship. And this ties really nicely into the next one, which is love and affection. Now, of course, there's this perception out there with women that all men want is sex, right? How often have we heard that as women? And yes, it's true. Men are visual and they do enjoy sex. And many men, that is the first thing that draws them to a woman, is a physical attraction, noticing her form and her face and her loveliness and her feminine attributes. However, despite what many women believe, men do have deep needs, feelings, and emotions, and they go beyond just this desire for sex. Now, while a man will want to bond with a woman in that way that he's attracted to, they also need love and affection in addition to sex. And I think it's important to remember that while men might seem rough and tough on the exterior, they are often very sensitive and have very deep feelings and emotions inside, and they can actually be hurt very easily and very deeply. And we hear about the male ego, and this is actually a very real thing. A man's heart, a man's feelings can be deeply wounded. And what I have found as I have learned more about relationships and talked to men over the years is that if a woman deeply hurts a man in this way, if he feels deeply rejected by her, or she makes him feel less than the kind of man that he would want to be perceived as, he may never be able to open his heart to you again. He may never choose to give you a chance to hurt him in this way again if you exploit his vulnerability. And I think that's sometimes something that women don't recognize about men, and it's kind of funny sometimes, where it's almost a revelation to some women that men have hearts and feelings and deep emotions, and this goes beyond their desire for just sexual interaction with a woman if he's the kind of man that is seeking to have an established, long-term, committed relationship with someone that he loves. Benjamin, what would you like to add here?
This is, I remember I've seen several articles about this, where they've done studies and they've asked men who are in relationships, who are sexually active. They've asked them the question, okay, would it be all right, would it be acceptable to you if the woman in your life, you know, was willing to give you sex, but she was completely emotionally disconnected from you in the moment? You know, the old joke about, okay, you know, do what you want, I'll be up here, you know, I'll be up here reading a paperback or a magazine. When men are asked this question, the whole lie that men are only in it for the physical release, etc., is exposed. Because it varies between 80% and 90% of men, when asked that question, actually are rather horrified. I mean, the idea of the sex act, the physical release, without the active participation of the partner is not something that they'd be willing to entertain at all. They're shocked at the thought. And it goes back to this idea that although I'm saying there are men out there with addictions, there are men out there with various mental health difficulties, I'm not saying those individuals don't exist. But like I said at the beginning of our recording tonight, we're talking about the good man, the man who, despite all his many flaws, is pursuing a relationship in good faith. When a man does connect emotionally, deeply, with a woman with whom he's in a sexual relationship, and it's simply false to claim otherwise. I've recently been going through a book called Challenging Casanova, Beyond the Stereotype of the Promiscuous Young Male. It's by a psychology professor by the name of Andrew Smiler, and he looked at a lot of research that's been done looking at what are regarded generally as the most promiscuous, sexually active of all of the male age categories, and that's the college age male. And in looking at this research, I remember him bringing up one particular bit of data. He said college age men were asked, how many of you would want more than one sexual partner during the next month? Okay, of these quite young men, 25% said yes. Now, of course, when they asked the women, only 5% said yes, you know, a result that basically surprises no one. And what Professor Smiler said in his book is the people who did this original research glommed on to the more obvious stat here, that the men were five times more likely to want to have multiple sexual partners. But in a way, they buried the lead here on the story. 75% of the men only wanted one or zero partners over the next month. Now, going through the surveys for additional information, they noted that about 15% of the men were not engaged sexually, because of deep religious convictions. That's 15%. So we have basically 60% of college-age men who are not looking for multiple sex partners. And I realize this is one data point among many, but when you take the time to go beyond, media and pop-psych stereotypes and look at the way men really live their lives, there is a deep need on the part of men for an emotional connection. Good men who are pursuing a relationship in good faith want that security. They want that connection.
Thank you, Benjamin. And I just want to say that there are men out there who are just looking for, a hookup. There are men out there that are looking for a one-night stand. And we believe very strongly that it's not to your advantage to get involved in those kinds of situations, because I have talked to so many women over the years. I don't even know how many I've lost count, believe me, but I have talked to so many women over the years about their experiences with dating and relationships, and I have never had one woman say to me, "I wish I had gotten sexually involved sooner." But I have had many women say to me that they wish they had waited to get sexually involved with a man. And I just want to say that one of the key reasons for that, above and beyond any personal beliefs or religious beliefs or anything like that that you might have surrounding this, is that if you immediately become involved sexually with a man right after meeting a man, early on in the dating experience or for a one-night stand, you short-circuit the opportunity to develop a deeper relationship with a man. First of all, you don't know what you're getting into. You haven't had time to get to know the character of the man. And it's interesting because I was actually interviewing Dr. John Gray from Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus yesterday, and we were talking about this very thing. And one of the things that he emphasized was that if you immediately get involved with a man sexually, it can oftentimes decrease his motivation to be with you because there's that physical spark and intensity in the beginning. And once that has died down, if you haven't established the emotional connection and a deeper connection by really knowing each other, then you're oftentimes finding that you have no idea what the initial attraction was all about anyway. And it can actually decrease the motivation of a man to develop a deeper and more lasting bond or connection with you. So there are men out there that are looking for a hookup, so to speak, and we recognize that. Again, though, we're talking about, when we say a real man, we're talking about a relationship-ready man who, while he is not perfect, is dealing with you in good faith and is seeking to establish a real connection with you. Benjamin, anything you want to add before we move on?
Just expanding on what you were saying, waiting before engaging in sex, for some women, it has to do with religious beliefs. But in addition to that, it's a highly, from a pragmatic standpoint, it just makes tremendous sense. Because if you're dealing with a man who either has one of these, tragic flaws that make him unable to function in a relationship, or if he's too interested in instant gratification, that kind of man is going to show his cards fairly soon in a relationship if things aren't moving along quite as fast as he hopes. You'll start to get either detached behavior from you at one extreme, or you'll start to get behavior where he'll start to push your boundaries at the other extreme. So from a pragmatic standpoint, by holding off, a man who doesn't meet the good faith test is going to show his cards to you before you wind up giving more than you would have wanted.
Benjamin, I'm so glad that you said that. And if you would, because I think it would be more powerful coming from you since you are a man, tell the women about why they can trust in the idea that a good man will be willing to wait to have sex with her until it feels right and is ready for her, and she's ready for sex. Tell them why you think that is true. Because I believe that, but I think that's a fear of many women, that if they don't give a man sex early on in a relationship, that he'll disappear. In fact, I've had many women say this to me.
And this is another symptom of society's downplaying of men's feelings, men's emotions. When a man, a woman that he's tremendously impressed with, he is going to want to pursue her, and he's going to want to continue to pursue her. And what will even enhance this, even if you know, sex has not been included up to this point, the kind of things we've been talking about, where the woman remembers to receive graciously and with gratitude, the woman's amiable and friendly, the woman is thoughtful and is respectful. That, rather than driving a man away, that's going to increase his attraction to you, his fascination with you, if you will. He's going to see you in all of your dimensions, not just the physical ones. He's going to appreciate that. And as he does, you're going to see it. You're going to see, hey, this man really is treating me as the most important person in his life. He wants the other people in his life to know that I'm with him. He is so pleased and proud to be with me. So you're getting all of those dimensions of the relationship in place so that when the sexual bonding finally comes, it's going to be the culmination of that process, not a tragic short-circuiting of it.
That was really beautifully said. And I would just say, ladies, that I want you to feel confident about your own value and about your own worth, and to recognize that the right man, a real man, who will be the kind of man that you would want to have a long-term committed relationship with, will respect your feelings about this. And I think that it's something that women sometimes feel a little bit uncertain about how to handle, if they're feeling pressured for sex or if they're feeling that the man is very anxious to have sex with them. And I think that there are ways that you can express yourself to let him know that you are attracted to him, and so he doesn't feel rejected and like there's no hope in this area, and still maintain what feels comfortable to you in terms of your values, your standards, or what you feel ready for in terms of when you choose to have sexual relations with a man. And so one of the things you could possibly say is, if this is coming up or you're feeling pressured, is you could just say something like, I'm really attracted to you too, and I'm flattered, and I would feel more comfortable if we had the opportunity to continue to get to know each other better, because I really think this relationship has potential, and I would like to really be able to explore it without having that get in the way of us really getting to know each other for now. You can say something to that effect, where you let a man know that you are interested and attracted to him, and because you value the opportunity to get to know him and to see the potential of the relationship, that you want to be wise and make sure that you feel ready so that things don't get short-circuited. How did that sound to you, Benjamin, from the male perspective?
Yeah, that's good. You can easily reaffirm your attraction to a man and your interest in him in that way. And trust me, if a man is pursuing a relationship in good faith, one that he wants to go the distance, that he wants to be permanent, that's not going to drive that kind of man off. Because that kind of man is not being driven by this, hormonal stopwatch that says, either we hop in the sack by date number such and such, or I'm out of here. That's not what's going to drive this kind of man. So reaffirm your interest and your attraction, but let him know that the time is not yet right.
Right. Yeah, so we could talk a lot more about this, but we do need to move on. And our next topic that we want to talk about is an interesting one, and sometimes even seen as being a little controversial, and I'll tell you why in a moment. And that is, a real man wants to be needed. He wants to be needed. So I talk to women all of the time, and many women I speak to say, well, I don't really need a man. And they say this to themselves, and sometimes they verbalize this out loud to me and to others. And I find it kind of interesting, because sometimes I have the sense that I'm wondering if they're trying to convince themselves or me that that is actually true. Sometimes I think they might actually believe they don't need a man. And I get the concept that you may not feel like you need a man in perhaps the traditional sense for reasons of economics or security. You may not need him in the sense that you're managing your own life pretty well and you're doing fine and you're able to, hold things together financially, and you've got a lot going for you in your life. You may even feel fulfilled and happy in many aspects of your life. However, the truth is, most women really do deeply desire to have a good man in their life that they can share their life with and have someone by their side through the ups and downs of life, and wish for this kind of love that is available through a man, an emotional connection with a man. Most women have a desire to be cherished and adored, and to have the little details in her life matter to someone. And I consider it actually very healthy for a woman to be able to say, I really deeply want to have a man in my life, the right man, the kind of man who will love me, cherish me, adore me, someone that I can admire and respect and trust and love. And I even think it's okay to say, I need to have a man in my life. Now, like I say, I don't mean you're going to die if he's not there. But it's okay to recognize your needs as a woman, because we have been created in a way where we're not able to fulfill all of our own needs in every other way. There are experiences that you can have, ways that you can grow, emotions that you can feel that you do not experience as a single woman alone. And that's why this is a very powerful thing to be able to recognize. Now, there's a huge difference between having a need, and a need might be defined as a deep desire, and there's a big difference between that and being needy, right? There's a big difference between being intentional and being willing to state what your desires are and being desperate. So I'm not talking about being desperate and needing a man in some kind of desperate way where he's going to ride in on his white horse and save you. I'm talking about being in tune with the fact that you are a woman with deep emotional needs and desires, and that you have this desire for a connection. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about how a woman would need a man. Now, in terms of how this impacts a man has a desire to feel needed, meaning that a man wants to know that his gifts that we've talked about earlier, his contributions, who he is, makes a difference in your life. He wants to know that he's not just taking up space in the house, in the apartment, wherever you're living. He wants to know that he has an important role and a significance in your life. He wants to be needed. He wants to know that his efforts, the way he spends his energy, whether it be providing kindness to you, taking care of you in whatever way he does, contributing around the household, showing his love and affection, giving his advice, his wisdom, his help, his support. He wants to know that that's going to make a difference for you, that he is going to be needed, and that his efforts are going to mean something. So, Benjamin, I know, again, I would love to have you speak to this because you, I know, experience this as a man.
Yes. I was on a work-related trip. I was in an airport bookstore. I was thumbing through a couple of the self-help books, the relationship books, and it was a book that was written by a psychologist. She was a woman. I don't remember her name. If anyone listening, when they hear the quote, knows of it, you know, feel free to email Michelle and let us know, because I'll be happy to give the proper attribution. But this woman was talking about women who had achieved a lot in their lives. She made what I thought was a very important point, and as a man, I related to it. She said, men don't run away from strong and successful women. They run away from invulnerable women. And that's an absolute key quote in terms of what Michelle just said about needing to be needed. When a man finds a woman that he admires, that he respects, and by the way, it's absolute hogwash that a good and decent man will run away from a woman simply because, you know, she may have had more success monetarily in her career. that's one of the great lies that is foisted on men and women in this country. But when a man does see a woman who's had considerable success, he's fascinated. He may find this woman to be, at least in the beginning, to be a great friend, a never boring conversationalist. But as he starts thinking about the possibility of more of a relationship, he's going to think along the lines of, well, wow, I mean, she seems to have it all together. I mean, all I see is strength and perfect confidence in every last area. And he's not going to pass up on that woman because of any kind of career success, any kind of success of that nature. But he might pass her up if he doesn't really see where he would play a role in her life. So what we're saying to women is, don't you dare pretend to be any less impressive, any less successful and confident than you really are. But just remember that, like everyone else, there are times when you are afraid. There are times when you're confused. There are times when you need assurance and comfort and guidance, etc. And be aware that good men who want a relationship in good faith, will be prepared to be those things for you. But you may need, once you've gone through the initial stages of a relationship and have developed some trust, you may need to open up a bit to let him know, hey, I'm not solid as a rock 24/7. I have my own anxieties. I think a lot of people, both men and women, are trying to get to intimacy without having to go through vulnerability. And it's not possible. It's not possible because intimacy and vulnerability are two sides of the same coin. They can't be separated from each other. To be intimate, you must be vulnerable. And so that's my bit on this one.
And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I want it to be very clear that this is not about you being any less amazing than you are. Because we know whom we speak to. We know the women in this audience are beautiful, accomplished, amazing, educated, impressive women. And this is not about you being anything less than what you are. It is recognizing that there is a place and there is a space in your life where a man, a good man, could make a significant contribution, and that you could even need some of the things that he has to offer. And as I mentioned, there's a difference between need and neediness. And there's a difference between being intentional in recognizing your need, which may also be defined as a deep desire, and being desperate. And we're not talking about being desperate, and we're not talking about being needy here. So just wanted to reemphasize that. And it's not about you being any less than what you are. It's just recognizing that your life could be better, sweeter, happier, more joyful if you had someone to share it with. And that's what I think most women really want on a deep core level. So the next one we'd like to talk about is that real men want and why you should care about it or want it to is that they want a feeling of competence. Now, this is kind of an interesting one, and I find it to be kind of subtle sometimes. Sometimes it's not one that's quite as clear as some of the others that we've talked about. But what I mean by this is it comes back around to the respect that we talked about earlier. It comes back around to the appreciation that we talked about earlier. And just to give you a couple of examples of what we're talking about, my husband and I were in a restaurant tonight having dinner, and we were talking about how when a man takes a woman out on a date, for example, a night on the town, and let's say they go to a restaurant, and perhaps he's planned this and he's thought in his mind, oh, it'd be so nice to take her out and give her an enjoyable experience and give her the opportunity to eat something that she enjoys. Maybe he's not thinking about it this deeply, but that's the point of the exercise, right? And so they go out to a restaurant, and let's just say that the food is not quite up to her expectations. And so she might say something like, wow, this is just the worst Chinese food I've ever tasted in my life. I really wish we would have gone to such and such restaurant instead. Well, that might be kind of an extreme example, but how do you think that this man is going to be feeling? He's going to be feeling like he's failed, like he's let her down. And it's going to feel, this is something that as women we don't always recognize, even though you're talking about the food, you're not talking about him, and in your mind it may have nothing to do with him, this is going to feel very personal to him, just in the way as it feels personal to him if you compliment him or if you let him know that you're enjoying or appreciating something that he's providing to you, a part of the experience that you have together. So one tip here is to focus on and accentuate the positive. And even if it's as simple as, you know, it's so nice to get out of the house tonight. I've had such a busy week. Work has been crazy. And it's just really nice to be out on the town and not have to cook. You know, whatever. You can always find something positive here. You know, one of the things I've noticed, just another example that will illustrate a little bit also about what I'm talking about, is my husband and I both have computers, and he has desktop computers. We both have laptop computers, and every 2 or 3 years we update his desktop computer, and then I typically inherit his model that he has just replaced because I don't have as sophisticated of needs with my desktop computer. And so it's been kind of funny. It's been kind of a funny thing because it seems like inevitably when we've done this, then it's only a matter of time before this computer that has been working perfectly well all along suddenly starts acting up a little bit. Right, Benjamin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's been interesting to me because I'll mention something that's going on to Benjamin, and I've noted that he feels very upset and very frustrated, and I didn't get it at first. I thought, well, I wonder, you know, why this is upsetting him so much. Well, the reason this is upsetting him so much is because something that he provided to me in good faith that he thought was going to serve me well is now acting up. And so this is feeling personal to him. Well, in my mind, it has absolutely nothing to do with him. It's not his fault. I'm not thinking that he's given me a bad computer. I'm not thinking anything of the kind, but yet it feels like it's personal to him, and so he's having a strong reaction to it. And I think this is just something that if we as women can be sensitive to, it can go a long way in helping a man to feel safe in the sense that it's okay if everything's not perfect. Again, I mentioned this interview that I did with John Gray yesterday, and just another little example of this from that interview was that he talked about when he and his wife were dating, they went on some kind of road trip, and he took a wrong turn, and he ended up in an entirely different state than he meant to end up in, and he was completely lost and finally had to pull over and look at a map, which, of course, you know, the joke is a man never wants to ask directions or look at a map, but here he was, and they were off track, and it was very obvious and very clear that they were off track, and so he pulled over and was looking at a map, and he actually admitted that he had no idea where they were and needed to figure it out, and his then girlfriend, who later became his wife, said something to the effect of, well, I don't know where we are either, but this is an amazing sunset. So here she was able to see something lovely and beautiful in this moment and allow him the space to correct what had gone wrong without him being criticized, being put down, or being judged for just being human. And this is kind of what I'm talking about. I thought it would be helpful to give you some examples when I talked about this competence. We're talking competence piece, not confidence, but competence. A man wants to feel competent. Benjamin, what would you like to add here?
Well, this one is very, very important, of course, but I don't have a lot to add. There is an old saying among men that the message we want to give to women is, you can tell us what to do, or you can tell us how to do it, but not both. if there's something that you want to have us do, then that's fine. But competence means so much for men, because men are always being measured, even in their recreation, even in their leisure moments, when they're playing some pickup basketball with their buddies, or they're playing some flag football, or they may be on a multiplayer computer game or whatever they're doing. Men are constantly being measured in their competence against others. And by pointing out those areas in which he makes a real difference and a real contribution to your life, to your comfort, to your to everything that you value, that is going to absolutely send him soaring into the sky. And because you will represent a still point in that chaotic life of needing to prove competence, you will represent a still point of relief that reaffirms rather than challenges.
That was very beautifully said. As you were speaking, I was just thinking of another little example that might also illustrate this piece. So when you said, Benjamin, you can tell us, or maybe a nicer way to say it would be ask us to do something, but not tell us how to do it, perhaps that might be another way to say it. Another example of this might be, for example, if you ask a man to help you, for example, or you ask him to just do it on his own, like to load the dishwasher. Let's just use that as an example. Well, you can't even get two women in the same room who don't have their own ideas as to how the dishwasher should be loaded, We all have our own way where we think everything should be in a certain position and angled a certain way. And this is a challenge, I know, for two women that are in the room. Two women can't agree on how a dishwasher should be loaded. And I've found myself, I'll admit this, that I'll see how my husband is loading the dishwasher, and I have a temptation to want to switch things around a little bit. Honey, I've done this, right?
Yes.
And I recognize that it's a mistake for me to do that. In other words, I need to allow him the space to do it his way, and even if I might think my way is a little bit better, I need to allow him that space to do it his way, because he's doing what I'm asking him to do, and I need to allow him to have that feeling of accomplishment and knowing that he has been able to fulfill the request that I made of him without making him feel like he did it wrong. Because if he feels like he did it wrong, then it backfires and it's not a satisfactory or joyful experience for either party. So that may seem like a trite example, but I think it's something that we as women really need to have an awareness of and allow a man to do things in his way, even if it's different than ours, which it probably will be in many cases, right? Do you have anything you want to add there, Benjamin?
It's just important to realize that even though you may feel in certain ways that if you would just change and do it your way, everything would be so much better. Recognize that if those differences are not amounting to significant, you know, harm or a significant risk to anyone's health and safety. You know, I'm not talking about a scenario where your husband has him drives you somewhere, and as he gets out of the car, he says, "Okay, hon, now pull around the corner, and if you hear shooting, get ready to gun it." You know, no, okay, that's the thing that's wrong. But what I'm saying is that there are numerous ways to do things. And allow him to be competent in his own way.
Yeah. Allow him to feel that competence without feeling like you're running behind him and the way he's doing it is not acceptable. That's going to be a huge demotivator for a man, and it's not going to be a win for either of you. So this is something that I'm still in the process of learning and perfecting. I've confessed that here, but I think it's something really important for women to have an awareness of. Number 7 is a big one, and this one is trust and loyalty. And I think it's really important to recognize a couple of things here, and I know Benjamin will have some important things to add, but I think it's important for a man not only to trust you, but to know that you trust him. And trust is something that I recognize doesn't always come easily for many women, for many people in general. It doesn't always come easily for many men, and yet I believe that trust is every bit as important, if not more important, than even love in a relationship. And when I mean when I talk about trust, I'm talking in large part about the fact that a man can trust your loyalty. He can trust that you will choose to see the best in him. He can trust that you will be faithful to him. That seems like a fairly obvious one, just like you would want that in a committed relationship. It's a trust that you will have his back. It means that you will be if you have things you need to discuss with him in terms of concerns or issues, that you will discuss those with him in a respectful way personally, but you're not going to be out there airing your dirty laundry to your friends or complaining about him or criticizing him behind his back. And in fact, I've even had some women and some men tell me how powerful it is when you compliment your man or you acknowledge him publicly in front of other people and you build him up. And I think this cannot, again, be overemphasized. This trust and this loyalty really goes both ways. And a man also needs you to trust him to be there for you. In other words, you can, in large part, inspire him by the way you treat him to be the kind of partner that you want if you do all of these seven things that we have been discussing tonight. And this isn't about manipulation. This is talking about real needs and desires that the right kind of man is going to want to have in his relationship with the woman of his choice. Benjamin, what would you like to add here?
The loyalty piece. I mean, obviously there are many aspects of loyalty that apply equally to both men and women. You know, obviously not engaging in cheating, obviously not becoming emotionally involved with another member of the opposite sex in a way that compromises the relationship. But as Michelle mentioned, something that men really are concerned about in pursuing greater intimacy with the woman in their lives, they're very concerned about what is going to get out to that woman's circle. And it takes me back to I was in a church group. I was in a class that was put on by a woman who's a licensed counselor. It was on relationships. And she related a story where she was sitting at lunch with several of her female friends, and one of them started to explain the difficulties that her husband was having in the area of sex. And it was, not much was said before the other women kind of said, you know, okay, that's kind of TMI. Let's back off on this. But enough was said that she felt terrible because she said, whenever I see this man, my thought processes, my view of him is irrevocably altered. And men have this worry. And my advice would be to do all that you can to avoid. I mean, these may be women that you've known for ages. I mean, these may be women that you are tremendously close to. But even so, avoid airing any relationship dirty laundry in that circle. Ideally, if you need to speak to someone other than your partner about relationship issues, it really should be someone that has a legal duty of confidentiality, such as a psychologist or clergy or a medical doctor, or it should be someone that has that kind of a duty and is equipped for that. Avoid avoid that kind of disclosure. That's, I felt it myself, and I have heard on numerous occasions from men who feel a deep sense of insecurity and risk, wondering whether or not every weakness, every humiliation, every, unfortunate sexual moment will become talking points in the next all-girls lunch. So that's my bit on this one.
Benjamin, I really appreciate your comments there. I wonder also if you could speak just for a moment to the piece of what it means to a man to have a woman trust him.
You know, that's the culmination of the process when a man first meets a woman and determines that he wants to get to know her better. And the old saying, you know, every man has a plan, that's true. You know, as I think I've said on an earlier recording, if a man in a crowded room at a party or a dinner or something, you know, if a man comes up and introduces himself and speaks to you, that wasn't by accident. He didn't just flip a coin or roll a dice or eeny meeny miny and come down on you. There's something about you that attracted and or fascinated him. The culmination of that process of getting to know you is the kind of trust that Michelle just mentioned. Knowing that trust is there means that you really, as a woman, you can now, and I realize this sounds like a bit of hyperbole, but it's really what I feel and what I've seen. As a woman, you can now go anywhere in that relationship.
Yeah, and I think that it's a part of this deep connection that we're talking about that can be formed between a man and a woman when a man senses that the woman in his life trusts him to be there for her. It's a way that we as women inspire the men in our lives and in many ways bring out the best in him. And I think that stems back around to why this should matter to you, why it should be important to you to understand some of the things that a good, real man would want and need from a relationship with a woman. So just to review, the 7 are respect, appreciation, companionship, love and affection, to be needed, feeling competence, and trust and loyalty. And as you learn to more effectively understand a man and to interact with a man in the ways that we've been discussing tonight, the reason this will be so significant for you is that you will much more likely be able to establish a deeper connection, a more meaningful relationship with a man, and in so doing, you're able to get your wants and your needs fulfilled as well. It becomes a win-win. And that's one of the wonderful things about this, is that you're not just all focused on providing these things in your relationship with a man. You're going to be getting back, you're going to be receiving the best that man has to offer if he's inspired by how you treat him. And as I said, a man will do anything in his power to help you, to be there for you, to support you, to love you. And I've experienced this personally because Benjamin and I have been married for 8 years now, a little over 8 years, and we have been through some significant ups and downs together, specifically my breast cancer experience when I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2012, and I had to go through very extensive treatments, and I became very dependent upon him and needed him in ways that I had never even imagined that I would need him. Now, that's an extreme example, but I was able to know and trust in my heart that he was going to be there for me, and I got a gift of being loved in a way that I never even imagined that someone could even love me. And so this really becomes a win-win opportunity. A man can feel inspired, appreciated, respected, and he'll feel loved by you treating him in these ways. And you, in turn, will get to be loved and cherished and adored and will get the best that that man has to offer. Benjamin, what would you like to add?
I don't know that I can do any better than that. That was beautiful. Remember that even though so much of the world around us is invested in keeping this whole battle of the sexes thing going, remember that respect, appreciation, amiability, and kindness are human needs. It doesn't matter if we're talking about men or women. And despite society's attempts to bury these needs in men and not advise men to come out in the open with them, they nonetheless remain there. And women with the wisdom and the patience to understand can bring them out in ways that will wind up enriching the life of that woman in amazing ways.
Thank you, Benjamin. I really appreciate you being here with me tonight, and I know that it's incredibly valuable for the women to hear the male perspective and the male point of view as well, and I just really thank you for all that you've added to this conversation. We hope that this has been valuable to you, and we hope that you'll consider what we've shared tonight, and we desire for you to have the kind of relationship that you've always dreamed of, to be able to connect deeply with a man who will love and cherish and adore you. That is our vision for you. And I am so inspired as I work with women throughout the world and begin to see their lives go in the direction of meeting and attracting a high-quality man who treats them exquisitely, and to see that the joy and the happiness that they have when they're able to experience the kind of love that we're talking about. In very recent days, in fact, tomorrow I have one of my clients getting married, and I heard from another one of my clients today that she's engaged. And I've had another client that just got married a couple of months ago, and they're all just deliriously happy. And it does add an additional wonderful dimension to your life to have a wonderful partner to share your life with. In a sense, you are able to double your joys and divide your sorrows. And it's an incredible gift and blessing, and we want that for you. And so we thank you for investing your time and in considering these ideas in how you can create more possibility in your life for having that amazing relationship. And I want to also invite each of you to visit my website, lovelifecoaching.com. And if you go onto the free resources page, you can access the recordings we've referred to earlier, The Right Man Won't and The Right Man Will. And there's also a whole variety of articles and resources that you might also find helpful and valuable. And so we invite you to take that opportunity, and we congratulate you for taking a stand for what you want in your life. And we're so grateful that you've been here with us, and we hope that you've found this incredibly valuable. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at lovelifecoaching.com. And any of your comments or questions for Benjamin can be fielded in that direction as well. I always pass on your compliments and your comments to Benjamin. So, Benjamin, would you like to say goodbye?
Oh, it's been wonderful tonight. I wish all of you a happy life filled with love, and we would love to hear from you. Please please email at the address Michelle mentioned, and let us know how you're doing.
And Benjamin and I are both wishing you much love and many blessings. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye.